broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, it is a brand new month, the month of November. It's already November 2nd today. Tomorrow is Election Day, and I certainly hope that you as a Christian will exercise the right and the privilege that you have in a liberal democracy to vote. Please vote. I think this is perhaps the most significant election day, at least in my history, and I was born in 1950. Someone that was born 1,600 years before I was born, St. John Chrysostom, he was the golden-mouthed preacher. And I had the opportunity to write a foreword to a book titled On Wealth and Poverty, and it is our resource of the month. And I can tell you that this is an absolute literary gem. It's a treasure. It's a pearl of greatest value. And to absorb its message, as I write in the foreword to this book, is to be eternally transformed. To be assured that whatever your status in this life, you will experience the quintessence of wealth in the life that is to come. And that, of course, is of ultimate importance. For as the golden-mouthed expositor says, as a little drop is to the boundless sea, so much a thousand years are to that future glory and enjoyment. Did you get that? It's worth repeating. Think, as a little drop is to the boundless sea, so much a thousand years are to that future glory and enjoyment. This life is but a drop in the ocean of eternity. And so in this literary pearl available when you go to the web at equip.org and stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, in this literary pearl, St. John takes Christ's famed parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and he attempts to plumb its immeasurable riches. And he knows all the while that no one will be able to empty all its wealth. Such is the nature of this abundance. The deeper you dig, the more divine thoughts will gush forth, for it is a never-failing spring. And I can tell you that from personal experience, for I have read this parable in Luke chapter 16 hundreds of times. And I can tell you that the deeper you dig, the more divine thoughts will gush forth. This is a never-failing spring, to be sure. Now, the beauty of this patristic classic is that by absorbing its bounty, you and I mean you, may well arrive at a true valuation of things. Because in this treasure, the book I'm talking about on wealth and poverty, St. John moves the masks, and he exposes the rich man as poor and poor Lazarus as the most, well, the most affluent of all. For just as actors enter the stage with the masks of kings and generals, so poverty and wealth mask reality. The man who plays a king often turns out to be someone who sells figs in the market. Well, in like fashion, when the rich man's mask is removed, when he dies, when he departs the theater of this present life, he's revealed to be the poorest of all in that other world. So poor that he was not even master of a little drop of water, but he had to beg for this and did not even obtain it by begging. In that other world, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry. You gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me drink, and as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom reflects our unmasked inner state. It reveals whether or not we are of Christ. Though St. John is speaking a mere 3.5 centuries after the death of Christ, his sermons read as though they are spoken on the contemporary stage of history. In fact, in one oration, he reproves those who raucously applaud his sermons in the sanctuary and then swiftly forget their poignancy while imbibing the vagaries of the race course. In another, well, he employs the aftermath of an epic earthquake to unearth God's power and his love, the tremors revealing God's awesome might and their cessation, his unfailing love. If contrast is the conduit to clarity, and it most certainly is, then the contrast between the sermons of contemporary prosperity preachers and those unveiled in this little book could not be starker. For the modern prosperity peddler, Christ is a mere means to our ends. And multitudes are called to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the Master's table. It's the glory of the cross, transposed to the glory of consumerism. It's the commodification of the divine, the fresh new face of baptized humanistic psychology. Transformation through the recital of mantras, hardly by the renewing of minds. But not so in the sermons of St. John Chrysostom. His are not, well, they're not good feel sermons or feel-good sermons for a feel-good generation, but rather they're sermons laden with truths that transform. St. John's words thunder from the past with prophetic urgency. For the righteous, both the life hereafter and this life provide great pleasure. But the wicked and greedy, well, they're punished both here and in the hereafter. Again, that from my introduction to On Wealth and Poverty by St. John Chrysostom. When I got this book, on the front cover of this book, it says "Foreword by Hank Hanegraaff." I felt like trembling. My name on the same cover as a book on the sermons of St. John Chrysostom. And that's not said to bring any glory to myself. It's just simply a way of communicating how significant this golden-mouthed preacher is. This is a book that I've read over and over again, and a book that I pray you will read over and over again. Essentially, six sermons on one of the greatest passages in the whole of the Gospels. Again, your copy available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, your questions, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
For modern prosperity preachers, Christ is a means to our ends, leading many to the Master's table, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on his table. A crude commodification of faith, placing consumerism above the cross. The early church father John Chrysostom passionately examines Christ's parable of the rich man and Lazarus, showing that the contrast between prosperity preachers and the teachings of Christ could not be starker. Chrysostom's Christian classic on wealth and poverty is not a feel-good book for a feel-good generation. It is a desperately needed message thundering from the past with prophetic urgency for the present. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
In John Chrysostom's Christian classic On Wealth and Poverty, the words of Christ take center stage. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. As you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. On Wealth and Poverty is full of timeless truth, and to absorb its message is to be eternally transformed. What we do for the poor and the downtrodden, those in need of food and water, and those who hunger and thirst for the riches of Christ's kingdom, reflects the ultimate reality of our inner state, revealing whether we are of Christ or whether we are not. To receive your copy of On Wealth and Poverty, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Michael in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Michael.
Yes, sir. Given the fact that some angels of God have rebelled in the past, is it not reasonable to believe that it could possibly occur in the present day with additional rebellious angels and or in the future?
No, I think not. And the reason I say that is neither holy tradition nor scripture knows anything of a future rebellion of holy angels. And even in eternity, there's no place for sin. So there'll be no future rebellion in the eons of time to come. We know from the Apostle John that nothing impure is ever going to enter the New Jerusalem, and nor will anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I think on top of that, we can say that the angels will not rebel a second time in that they passed the supreme test the first time. You know, think about it. If ever there was a time for the angelic hosts, and these hosts were replete in requisite knowledge, if ever there was a time to have rebelled against the sovereign of creation, it would have been when Lucifer, and Lucifer, of course, was the guardian cherub, the morning star, he's called Son of the Dawn. When Lucifer, proud in his splendor and wisdom, seduced a third of the angels to follow him in rebellion. So again, if ever there was a time for this to happen, it was the time that it did happen, not subsequent to that time. And I think one other thing that might be helpful in this regard is that if we're contending that the holy angels are free and yet not able to sin, we're not contending for something that's contradictory, maybe for a conundrum, not for something that is a contradiction, because God himself is the prime exemplar. He has ultimate freedom and yet is not able to sin. And the holy angels are in much the same condition. In obedience, they're not only genuinely free, but they have been actualized in that freedom, actualized in righteousness. So I don't think that there's any sense whatsoever that we get from the scriptures or from holy tradition that there will be another rebellion of any of the angels. They have been actualized in righteousness.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Hank. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I'm tempted to take just a moment to read the parable that I'm talking about. Excuse me. The parable of Luke chapter 16, this parable that I said in the first part of the broadcast, I am so intrigued by. In fact, that is why I'm offering this month a literary treasure, and that's precisely what it is. In fact, the homily on Luke chapter 16, on the rich man and Lazarus, is reserved each year in the Orthodox Church for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. And so it just so happens that was this past Sunday, and so the homily was on the rich man and Lazarus. But this parable is poignant and profound. Jesus says there was a rich man. And by the way, the rich man is never named. And there's a reason for that, because God does not speak the name of those or even countenance the name of those who do not end up in eternity with him. So there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived in luxury every single day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus was covered with sores, and he longed to eat just what would fall from the rich man's table. and even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. But the rich man also died and was buried. In hell, or in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all of this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses. They have the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, no, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Think about just those last few words. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't listen to them, they're not going to listen even if someone arises from the dead. In other words, we have all the evidence that we could possibly consume. The evidence written on the tablet of our conscience, the evidence written in the stars, and the evidence of Christ. You know, St. John Chrysostom preached at a crossroads in the history of Christianity. And we today are at such a crossroads in America. He was preaching to people in Antioch, but the sermon has great import for people in America. You know, St. John was born in 350. And this was around the time that St. Constantine established Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire. This was before the church had an officially ratified New Testament canon. Think about that. He was writing before there were the 27 books that we now have codified as the New Testament canon. And he was writing only 25 years after the first ecumenical council. This was an incredibly important council. It was an ecumenical council in which the church affirmed against the Alexandrian priest Arius. Affirmed the dogma of the consubstantial Trinity. For it is the Word, it is the Logos, who opens to us the way to union with the Godhead. And if the incarnate Word was not the same substance with the Father, if he be not truly God, our deification is impossible. Well, St. John, he was an incredible rhetorician. In fact, the person who trained him, Libanius, famously said of St. John, "It is a pity that the boy is a Christian, otherwise he could be my successor." Well, he wasn't the successor of a pagan rhetorician, but he was privileged to be the most popular speaker, quite frankly, in the church in Antioch. And his sermons, well, they resonate in language that all of us can relate to in the present. This is one of the most timely books I have ever offered on this broadcast. And again, it is available to you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. It's an important resource. It's available on the web, equip.org, and when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to sharing the next half hour with you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation of your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a book by the early church father John Chrysostom on wealth and poverty. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.